You're listening to Let's Talk Macro,
brought to you by Bandhan Mutual Fund.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Let's Talk Macro, another episode of our podcast on macroeconomics by Bandhan Mutual Fund, where we, as you know, discuss interesting global and domestic macroeconomic topics and events to keep you abreast with everything happening on a monthly basis. I'm Ahalya, your host, and I've got Srijit Balasubramanian, of course, economist in the Fixed Income Fund Management team, courtesy whom we do these breakdowns every month. Welcome, Srijit. How are you doing?
Thank you, Ella. I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well, and I know from our conversations off the recordings that it has been an absolutely crazy time for the markets. This is actually the month of data upgrades for India. So in case you're guessing what that means, India is releasing new data series for consumer price index inflation, that's CPI, industrial production and GDP. So we've already had it for the CPI and the GDP data will be out soon as well. So in today's episode, we're going to discuss the major changes in the new CPI series, what this means for the underlying inflation trend, things to note when looking at inflation data going ahead, and the implications for monetary policy as well. So Srijit, lots to dive into. Can we start with the basics though? You know, tell us about the main changes in the new CPI series and the rationale behind them.
Okay, so the purpose of the consumer price index is to closely track the price change in the goods and services that people consume in the economy. So the items in the consumption basket, their weights, coverage of markets, the right sources for collecting price data, and let's say the methodology used in constructing the, you know, the price indices are all very important. So the new CPI series, which was just released on the 12th of February, you know, along with the January number, is based on the latest 2023-24 household consumption expenditure survey. So that period, which is the 2023-24 period, is the weight reference period because the items and weights are based on that survey. And the price data for the items were collected in the 12 months of 2024. So 2024 is the sort of what we call the price reference period. So that becomes the base year. So that also means the average of the monthly indices that we have for the year 2024 will now equal 100. The earlier series had it for 2012 average. So that's the starting point for the new series. And essentially, the new series updates the goods and services consumed, you know, by including certain items, excluding old ones, adjusting weights to better reflect their share in people's consumption expenditure and so on. So for example, total items in the new CPI basket will be around 358 now versus just under 300 previously. The weight of food is going to be lower this time, while that of housing and other services are higher. Even within food, the weight of cereals, vegetables and pulses are lower, for example. Well, that of certain items like fruits are here. So there's this recategorization. The weights are changing of categories. Certain items within the basket, their weights get changed and so on.
Right. So an updated consumption basket to reflect expenditure patterns, which I guess is important to accurately measure the cost of living as well. Apart from this, what are the changes to price data collection and methodology, if you could break that down for us?
Sure. So one is the expansion of markets for collecting price data. So if you look at the number of villages in urban markets that, you know, is typically where the price data is collected from. So in the new series, around 280 plus villages and again 280 plus urban markets have been added. So even online markets have been added this time. So around 12 online markets have been added to capture price data from, you know, e-commerce platforms and for, you know, things like OTTs, subscription charges, that is, airfares, telecom services and so on. So that's one thing on the expansion of markets. The second thing is the methodology for compiling the indices at the very elementary level. So, for instance, you know, how the price data is built into basic indices, how imputing missing price data is done, and certain specific things like how calculation of HRA, all these have sort of improved in terms of the methodology. Three, now we have the All India and state-wise item-level CPI also in the new series for, you know, even rural, urban and the combined sectors. So, essentially more details there. And I think the other important thing is also that the items in the CPI basket are now mapped and classified as per the globally accepted what we call the COICOP, which is the COICOP 2018 system, which essentially stands for classification of individual consumption according to purpose. So these are standard definitions and categories into which the CPI basket items are classified into. So this enhances the standardization and even the comparability of our CPI with that of other countries. So all of these are essentially, you know, quite big improvements.
Yeah, like you're saying, major improvements actually to items, markets, methodology, and more. So you've given us a broad picture of the changes, but are there any specific areas or aspects within the new CPI index, Srijith, which have undergone major changes that also need to be taken note of?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So two important aspects, I think, on which the government had put out discussion papers on while the new index was being developed, were on the compilation of the housing price index, which is something that a lot of people are anticipating. And second is the treatment of items distributed under the public distribution systems, the PDA systems, like, you know, rice and wheat and so on. On the first thing, that is housing, apart from the expansion of coverage for price data collection, rural areas are now, you know, included. Previously, housing was compiled only for urban markets, so rural areas were left out. So now that's not the case. Rural areas are included as well. And the other important thing is that employer-provided housing, you know, including that provided by the government, is now excluded. And that's really important because that used to cause some swing in price data, even from change in designation of employees, even when the house as such remained the same, the allowed rent used to change. So every dwelling again will now be surveyed each month, and the weights are now based on the 2011 census. And like I said, there have been improvements in the compilation methodology as well. So all this will essentially now make the housing component more representative of the, you know, rents, etc. on the ground. And this should help avoid sudden changes in data, like I just mentioned, you know, sudden swings in data in certain months should probably help smoothen it out. And that's something we used to witness earlier. Those spikes should now not be there. The other thing is the PDS items, the items that are distributed under the PDS system. So there is, again, extensive discussion on this. But I think eventually they decided not to include any free social transfers in the CPI. You know, not just free food, but even free healthcare, electricity or education, be it by the union government or by the state government. And that's because these don't essentially represent actual out-of-pocket expenditure of consumers, right? And that is what CPI captures. So they didn't want to include anything which is provided by the government and therefore doesn't constitute an out-of-pocket expenditure for consumers. And again, it also makes it aligned with international practices. That's it. If any item is only subsidized by the government, which means, you know, the price is low, but it is not zero, and that continues to be included, and which was the case in the older CPI 2012 series as well. So that stays the same.
Interesting. So it looks like there was extensive discussion on free transfers in housing and definitely improvements in how they're captured. Now, coming to the important question on what all this means for CPI data, do you see any significant changes in the inflation readings going ahead? This is something we've spoken about, inflation, on our previous podcasts. And with that, any implications for monetary policy that we should look out for?
No, yeah, I think that's what ultimately matters. So if you, for instance, look at, we just have one print for now. So if you look at the January headline CPI number, as per the new series, that came in at 2.7% year on year. And now they've given a linking factor, or even if we just calculate the linking factor ourselves between the old series and the new series, and you take a ratio of the average of the overlapping, you know, monthly index values that we have in 2025, it's a bit of a statistical exercise that we do with whatever data that is available for now to calculate a sort of back series as per the new series, because right now we don't have too much of official historical data. So just have to calculate a linking factor and try to stitch out a series backwards. So that's the exercise that we do. And if you do that, what we see is that headline inflation as per the old series in the January print, for instance, would have been 2.5%, right? So the new series is only around 20 basis points higher. And again, we repeated this, the same exercise to measure the gap in some of the major categories of inflation. So food inflation, core inflation numbers. Now, again, I'll have to tell you that this wouldn't be a very accurate method because there have been, you know, many more underlying changes, like we discussed, to subcomponents, the way price is collected, the way indices are calculated, so the methodology again, and so on. So it wouldn't be exactly accurate if you try to, you know, create a series backwards, because things have completely changed between the two series. Nevertheless, it tells us a few things. And what it did tell us is that in the new series, food inflation was likely higher by 120 basis points, right? And that is because although the weight of food as a category has come down in the new series, if you look at the items within food, which had stronger price readings in January, they had higher weights. So like fruits, meat and fish, and so on. Well, those items which had softer readings, they had lower weights, like cereals and vegetables. So this is sort of the reason why food inflation sort of came in much higher than what it would have been in the older series. Mm-hmm. And the other category, again, that, you know, people look at is core inflation. Again, we measure it as inflation excluding food, electricity, gas and fuels in the new series. That was around 90 basis points lower than what it would have been in the old series. Now here, the ministry does not publish any standard measure of core inflation because there is no uniform definition and different stakeholders could interpret it differently. Yeah, so it all depends on how one defines core inflation. But if we define core as, you know, headline excluding food, fuel, petrol, diesel, even gold and silver jewelry, like what the RBI has also been focusing off late, we see the gap between the old and new series at this particular definition of core is not much. It's only around 30 basis points. Now, this is again because high weights of petrol, low weight of gold, and again because of the current inflation in some of these components. That's what's, you know, causing a small gap, but not much. Again, the other aspect that we noticed here is the average difference over a year. So if you go back and see the average difference, let's say in 2025, between the old and the new series, you know, monthly difference, and even at the headline level or various group levels is not much. So the point is that there are differences if you look at monthly readings between the two series in both directions. And therefore, you do an average of the last year, that sort of averages it out to zero. And what this essentially tells us at a higher level is that there is no unidirectional or, you know, gap in the same direction, that is, between the two series. So it sort of tends to average to zero. And therefore, if we see higher readings on average this year, we should see lower readings on average next year, you know, everything else remaining constant.
Right.
So while immediate CPI readings could be mildly higher than what it would have been in the old series, it doesn't change anything as far as RBI policy is concerned. And there, you know, the inflation backdrop continues to be moderate, but gradually inching up as food inflation normalizes and base effects reverse. I think that story, you know, remains the same.
Okay, so some changes in the inflation readings in January compared to the old series, depending on the definition of core and so on, but this should average out over time. So no material changes expected for monetary policy as of now. And with that, we come to the end of this episode, but we can't wrap up without me summarizing the key takeaways. So everyone, pay close attention. First big point of note, the new CPI series includes an updated basket of goods and services, weights, new markets for price data collection, improved methodology, and standardized classifications. All this makes it better reflect current consumption patterns and enhances its accuracy as well as comparability. Second, specifically, the compilation of the housing index has been considerably improved. Free social transfers by the government for any goods and services, including food items given through the public distribution system, that's the PDS, were decided to be excluded in line with the concept of CPI and global practices as well. And finally, January headline CPI was mildly higher than the number estimated as per the old series. Food inflation was higher, while a broad definition of core was lower. However, this does not change the inflation trajectory, as the difference between the two series should average to zero over a period. So there are no material implications for monetary policy as of now from the change in CPI series. With that, we come to the end of our breakdown of the new CPI series. Keep an eye out, of course, for the new GDP series that will be announced as well. But for now, that's a wrap on this episode of Let's Talk Macro. Thank you so much, Srijit, for taking us through all of the changes.
Thank you, Alia.
All right, we'll be back next month with another episode. Until then, bye-bye.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.